Good morning and welcome in the name of Christ. We are pleased to have you joining us for this morning's message. Today we are discussing Samuel's call taken from 1 Samuel chapter 3 verses 1 through 10. Mr. Watson, come here. Do you remember who it was that uttered those famous words? Yes, it was Alexander Graham Bell, who spoke those words on March 10, 1876, into a little project he was working on that still greatly affects us today. It was called the telephone. These words were first heard by Thomas Watson because they were transmitted over a wire into the room where Watson was working, and he heard them. The proof that this new invention worked was that Watson did come as summoned. We might say that Tom Watson was the first person to ever receive and accept a phone call. And of course, we have been doing so ever since. Today, most of us could not imagine our lives without a phone. But having a phone, and especially one that we pack around in our pocket with us everywhere we go, is relatively a new development. My father can remember the first phone that his family ever had. It was hooked up sometime in the very late 20s. He said that they were on a party line, as most people were at that time, and you had to listen carefully when it rang to determine if the call was for your house or for one of your neighbors. He said that their ring was two shorts and a long. There were many folks who got along just fine as they always had without ever having a phone. My father was a real letter carrier, and I can remember as a child in the 60s that he would sometimes tell someone that so-and-so on his mail route finally got a phone because he delivered their first phone bill. I also remember another story when I was growing up, a pastor friend telling us a story from one of his former pastorates. He said that one day when he was out trying to visit some of his church members, several of which who were not exactly regular in their attendance, he stopped by the home of an elderly gentleman. He remembered that he had tried to call him on several occasions, but was never able to catch him at home, or so he thought. When he pulled up to the man's house, he saw right away that the man was home. It was an old two-story farmhouse with a large front porch on which sat several old straight-back chairs as well as a wooden swing hanging from two chains. The man was sitting in one of the straight-back chairs, tilted back against the wall, with his hat pulled down low. He hardly moved when the preacher stepped up on the porch and greeted him. The man asked him to sit down, and they visited for a while. About that time, he heard the man's phone inside the house begin to ring. But to his surprise, the man didn't move a muscle from his seat. Well, after about the sixth or seventh ring, the pastor said, "Aren't you going to answer your phone? After all, it could be important." The old man didn't move from his chair. "Nope," he said. "I had that phone installed for my convenience, not for theirs." In a way, I find that the old man's attitude is a bit refreshing. After all, how many of us can stand to just let our phone ring without at least pulling it out and checking to see who is calling us? And how many of us will give a higher priority to the person calling us on the phone as opposed to the person we are physically present with? The truth is, there are times when we really should not answer our phones. In fact, there are times when it is downright rude to answer your phone, like in a movie theater, or during a worship service, or while attending a wedding or a funeral. Now, most everyone knows this, but to answer it anyway is very selfish. But yet, haven't we all seen people do it anyway? Our lesson today is about receiving a call. But not the kind of call that comes to us on our phones. The problem that Samuel had was that initially he was not sure who was calling him. We read that eventually, with help from Eli, Samuel was able to answer the call. that he was receiving from God. It seems this has always been a problem. When it comes to receiving a call from God, we have the same problem that Samuel had. It's often hard for us to identify God as the source of the call. It's not that we are unwilling to take the call. It's just that we are not sure that it is the voice of God we are hearing. And so we often just dismiss it as a random idea that pops into our head, rather than prompting us toward action. If you read about E. Stanley Jones, the great American missionary to India, he says that early in his life he was receiving all kinds of calls from many different sources, and it was difficult for him to discern which call was actually coming from God. At age 17, Jones gave his life to Christ. At 23, a college president asked him to teach a class, telling him that, "We believe it is the will of God for you to teach at this college." At the same time, a close friend was telling him, "I believe it is the will of God for you to go into evangelistic work right here in America." Also, during this time, he received a letter from his denomination telling him that it is our will that you be sent to India to work in the mission field. And if all this was not making things difficult enough for him, he told others that he felt God might be calling him to the mission field in Africa. Jones describes this time in his life as a traffic jam of wills. But eventually he says that after much thought and prayer, he became convinced that he should go to India, which is ultimately what he did, and where he served the people there faithfully until his death. But at the time, even this great man of faith had no foolproof way of discerning between God's call and all of the other competing voices. So the question this brings to mind is, does God still speak to and call people today? Most would say that without a doubt, he does. Still, the account of Samuel's call reminds us that discerning God's call from all of the other voices in our life can often be a bit difficult. We read that God's call came to Samuel at a time in history when the word of the Lord was rare. One of Israel's greatest leaders, Joshua, had died, and the Israelites were being governed by judges. This time in Israel's history is sometimes referred to as Israel's Dark Ages. It was a time when the book of Judges reminds us that the people did what was right in their own eyes. And just like in much of our society today, what was right in their own eyes was not even close to what was right in God's eyes. So, is there a way that we can tell when it is God that is calling us? After all, it's not like we have some kind of caller ID that will tell us when it is God. As we think about this issue, perhaps the story of Bishop John Siebert, who was the first bishop of the Evangelical Church, might give us some insight into how we might discern God's call. The Evangelical Church was one of the forerunners to the United Methodist Church. While it was very similar in doctrine to the Methodist Episcopal Church, its focus was its outreach to the thousands of German-speaking immigrants that poured into this country during the 19th century. Siebert was born in 1791, was called into the ministry in 1820, and reluctantly became a bishop in 1839. I say reluctantly because he did not believe he was worthy of this office. Unlike today, being a bishop didn't earn you a big salary and a lot of accolades. It just meant you worked hard and traveled a lot. Remember, this was the era of the circuit rider. According to his journals, Siebert logged in over 175,000 miles on horseback, preached 9,850 sermons, made 46,000 pastoral calls, and led over 8,000 prayer meetings. He would help to plant many new congregations throughout the Midwest as the population slowly moved west and all on a salary of $100 a year. By the way, he also had a family to support. So why am I telling you all of this? Well, before entering the ministry, Siebert was a cooper, which allowed him a decent living and allowed him to be at home every night with his family. But yet, there was something that was continually eating at him. He felt that God was calling him to preach, and he struggled for a long time, trying to decide if this was really God's voice he was hearing, or something else. He made this entry in his journal: "I finally determined, if it be God's will, to labor in his vineyard with my evangelical brethren. I should have gone sooner, had I been certain that the Lord wanted me to go. However, I had no rest at my cooperage, and concluded that the only way to get into the clear concerning this matter was to make an effort. If the Lord blesses my labor with the awakening and conversion of sinners, and the edification and encouragement of saints, I determined I would serve him in this way with all of my ability. Wherever I might have to go, whatever crosses I might have to bear, and however long the task might last." Siebert describes for us a way of determining the prompting we feel to do a certain thing is coming from God or some other source. Since he could not be sure, he just decided to go out on a limb and give it a try and see how things worked out. And he writes, "If the Lord blesses my labor, then he would know." Many times this is the way for us to sort things out for ourselves as well. You must act. You need to step out in faith. Respond to that voice you are constantly hearing in your head to go out and do something. Then if things do go well, you can bet that it is God that is behind that call you are experiencing. Stepping out in faith is seldom easy, and it is a sign of hope. When we sense God is calling us to act and to get started at what he is calling us to do, it is important to listen to the right voices. In these situations, there always seems to be those who try to discourage and distract us from acting. Therefore, we need to be careful which voices that we listen to. And then when we do step out in faith and act, we need to be sure and finish what we start, so that we can know for sure if we are in God's will or not. Jesus said, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Luke 6, verse 2. Remember that if you never start, you can never finish. And it is very important to finish. The point is, like in most every other situation, if we are going to hear and respond to God's call, then we must first be listening. We also have the choice to accept the call or to ignore it, to respond by starting to do what we feel God is calling us to do, or to simply do nothing. So let me ask, what have you been feeling God calling you to do today? What project have you been putting off? Might those feelings you're dealing with be God nudging you to do something? Don't be afraid to get started and then see it through. Have you tried testing that call by giving it a try like Bishop Siebert to see if, in fact, God would bless it? Sometimes the only way to find out about something for sure is to just step out in faith and see what happens. And once again, God will often give us the help and the encouragement that we need to finish something from the people around us. So, have you been listening for God's call? That new idea, that new mission outreach you've been mulling around in your head and thinking about, and would like to see your church get started doing? What's keeping you from responding to that call? Why not? Go ahead, make a plan, get started, and give it a try, and just see what you and God might accomplish, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.